And now, it's Media One Radio Group's local public affairs radio program, Community Spotlight. We're asking the questions you want the answers to.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Community Spotlight, the Media One Radio Group's weekly public affairs program. I'm News Director Terry Frank. We put the spotlight on Albany this week, along with state government and a handful of propositions on the ballot this November. All that this week with State Senator George Borrello, who represents New York's 57th District, which includes Chautauqua and Cattaraugus counties. George, welcome back to the program. It's great to have you.
Terry, it's great to be back with you. Thank you.
I wanted, first of all, to go to the healthcare situation with workers having to be vaccinated. I know that this past week, Governor Hochul said she's not backing away from the mandates. Where do things stand locally, as you are aware, especially regarding staffing?
Well, we're still hearing about strains on staffing. One thing that, the governor lost a lawsuit, which still allows healthcare workers to have religious and medical exemptions, which she was originally against. And that has resulted in, from what I'm being told by our hospitals and nursing homes and assisted living facilities, that they've been able to keep at least a fair amount of staff employed because of that. But the reality is there are still strains. I have spoken with the heads of hospitals throughout my district, and they are telling us that it is very precarious. I have been sent pictures of ambulances backed up at emergency departments in hospitals in our area. We've heard that places like Brooks Hospital in Dunkirk has a problem, with their obstetrics, delivering babies. We had a shortage of healthcare workers before the pandemic, and to lose even just a few is too many, and it is putting our healthcare in crisis, unfortunately. And this is a man-made crisis.
We are seeing fewer cases and hospitalizations in recent days. Has that alleviated things, or is the problem still there?
Well, there's no doubt that there was an increase in COVID cases. People were going to the hospital. So anything that brings those cases down is certainly good as far as the impact on our healthcare facilities. But to take the folks that worked through this pandemic and worked so diligently and didn't know what was going to happen, how it would impact them personally, them and their families, and to now fire those people because that they won't comply with this mandatory vaccine mandate is just shameful, in my opinion.
I wanted to move on to the legalization of marijuana, which is still in process in New York State. I have heard there is a new wrinkle that's come up, and that there are entities who are reportedly selling pot in various locations. I've heard of a number. You have brought that up as well off air. What have you heard, and how does this complicate things for the state?
Well, first and foremost, it just proves the fact that, as I have been saying, that the legalization of recreational marijuana in New York State was a horribly drafted piece of legislation instead of doing what we should have done, which was to learn from the mistakes made by the 15 other states that did it before us, and then craft a piece of legislation that was truly responsible, New York decided it was going to have to prove that it was the most progressive, if you will, with its liberal policy. And that has led to the situation we have now. First and foremost, back in March, when this law was passed, immediately decriminalized the possession of marijuana. This is, a full probably year and a half before we'll have the first sale of legal marijuana in New York State. So what did that do? Well, what it meant is that possessing marijuana in New York State is no longer illegal. And that has now created an environment where people are doing things that are, quite frankly, in that gray area. I've heard stories about people selling a T-shirt for $50, and then you are gifted, if you will, a certain small amount of marijuana along with that T-shirt. These are just things that are just go against it. But what it's also doing is it's getting people used to the idea of getting marijuana from illegal sources, from sources that will not be taxed, that will not create the revenue that the state has claimed that it's going to make. And it's getting people used to buying it on the black market. What we do know is in that states that legalize recreational marijuana, that every single state, the black market is booming, exactly the opposite of what the politicians in those states said would happen. And what we're doing here in New York is even worse, is we're basically creating an environment where we're decriminalizing it before there's a way to buy it legally. And you're going to essentially get people in the habit, if you will, of buying it from those illegal sources. And that isn't going to change once we have legal marijuana in New York State.
You're listening to Community Spotlight here on these six Media One Radio Group stations. I'm News Director Terry Frank. State Senator George Borrello is my guest this week. And George, I wanted to allot a certain amount of time in the program to talk about these five propositions that will be on the November ballot this year. Let's start with one regarding redrawing of district boundary lines, which is, of course, redistricting. That was last amended, I believe, in 2014. What does this particular proposition entail?
Well, quite frankly, and I think it's important for people to understand that the leadership in Albany, the politicians, they don't want you to flip your ballot over and vote on these propositions. That's why they put it on an off-year election like this. They know that fundamentally this is just a political power move by the Democratic leadership in Albany, and that's why they put it on the back of your ballot in an off-year election. But let's start with Proposition 1. Proposition 1 is opposed by good government groups, including the League of Women Voters, because what it does is it takes us backwards from having an independent redistricting commission to the behind-closed-doors, three-men-in-a-room scenario of redrawing the districts to protect incumbency and not to do what's in the best interest of the most people, which is what the people of New York wanted. Back in 2014, there was a constitutional amendment which created the Independent Redistricting Commission. That's what we have now. And the Democratic leadership based out of New York City wants to take that away. And that's essentially the main thing that Proposition 1 does, is it eliminates the Independent Redistricting Commission and takes us backwards into the old days of political gerrymandering. The other thing it does is it says that for the purposes of redrawing those districts, that New York State will include people who aren't citizens of New York State. And that is significant, especially here in Western New York. It's going to shift more of the population and the districts to New York City. They want people who don't have to prove that they are citizens of New York State or even of the United States of America to be counted essentially in the census data when it comes to redrawing districts. That's a problematic thing. I think everyone should be concerned about that. And anyone that is here, that has shown up here and done so in the legal proper manner should be concerned about that. It also says that incarcerated people, prisoners, will be counted in their home area instead of in the area where they're currently incarcerated. So even though the taxpayers are paying for the incarceration of those folks here in the local area, for example, at a state prison, that prisoner will be counted in the place that they came from, wherever that might be. So there are a number of problems with Proposition 1, but what this really is going backwards, for the most case, to the old days. Anyone who really understands and pays attention to this, I think, will want to vote no on Proposition 1.
I know on Proposition 2, that deals with the environment. What can you tell us about that?
Well, this sounds like a great idea. It gives an individual right to clean air and clean water. It's certainly an aspirational thing, but they're the unintended consequences, and I believe intended consequences, is that this is going to give an individual the right to sue if they believe that their personal environmental rights are being violated. So we all want clean air and clean water and a healthy, sustainable environment. And we already have lots of programs and initiatives in New York State to do that. But what this does is it gives an individual right to sue. And what is that going to mean? Well, that means that if you have a power line going across your property, you might say, well, I believe that power line is doing damage to my right to clean air and clean water or whatever, and then be able to create a lawsuit around that. And it blurs the lines, essentially. So I think it's an irresponsible, way of going about this. It's going to be a gift to trial lawyers out there that they're going to be able to create lawsuits on an individual basis or class action lawsuits. You're going to see probably like the Jamestown BPU could be sued, for example, something as simple as I don't like the fact that this plant is so close to my house. So I think it's very problematic, and I think that there are plenty other ways to ensure that we have clean air and clean water for New Yorkers than Proposition 2.
George, I wanted to take the next two proposals because they deal with elections together. One regards same-day voter registration. The other would allow for no-excuse absentee voting. What are your thoughts about those?
Well, you know, there's a couple things there. I think that there's a big problem with the idea of someone being able to show up at a polling site and not have to prove who they are. Because, again, in New York, you do not have to show identification. This is the first step in a process that will basically threaten the security and integrity of our elections. So the final goal here will be that someone will be able to show up at the polling site, not have to show an ID, and be able to say, I am so-and-so, I live at this address, and I want to register and I want to vote. And this is, there are some safeties being put in place to try to prevent that vote from occurring if it's not legitimate, but unfortunately it's going to overwhelm our local boards of elections. And this will not also provide any funding for our local boards of elections to ensure that security. Right now we have a rule, it's basically 25 days before the election you have to register and vote. That's going to be likely taken away in the coming year legislatively. The constitution of our state calls for, I believe, 10 days. So that is like it will be. So you will already be able to register up to 10 days before an election eventually. And I think that gives our boards of elections enough time to screen those folks to ensure that they are who they say they are and they live where they say that they live. And it's actually the person whose name is on the ballot that it actually is that's casting that vote. This takes away those safety measures by allowing someone to show up on election day, register, and then vote. And I think that is going to just undermine the security of our elections. Same thing with Proposition 4, which is, this is about absentee ballots and what they call no-excuse absentee ballots. And that means that instead of just those folks that are currently listed in our Constitution, people who are infirmed, people that are in nursing homes, for example, someone who's going to be out of town on Election Day, or are the members of our military that are serving overseas or away from their home area. Right now, that's who is supposed to be able to request an absentee ballot, but now they'll open up to anyone. Well, that happened in 2020 with the New York State primary election, and it was a complete disaster. You had tens of thousands of ballots throughout the state that ended up not being counted. And to me, this is a horrible idea. If you're an able-bodied person, you're able to get to the ballot, you have 10 days in every election now, 10 days to vote. And to think the fact that someone could just request that absentee ballot and potentially impact the ballot being counted for someone who truly cannot get to the ballots, like our folks serving overseas or people living in nursing homes, to me this is just not a good idea. It's going to overwhelm the system. It already has. We've proven that in previous elections where they've tried this during the pandemic. And ultimately, again, we're not going to give our local boards of elections the financial support that they will need to actually execute this successfully. It will undermine the integrity of our elections, and I believe people should vote no.
We've got about a minute left in the program, George, and I know the fifth proposition regards increasing New York City's civil court's jurisdiction from civil cases involving $25,000 to $50,000. Why should somebody in Western New York care about that?
Well, you know, and that's a good question. You know, it's just the way the process works is it has to be a statewide ballot initiative. I'll be supporting it. I think it'll help, relieve the burden on the court system in New York City. It's not something that people necessarily care about, but I will say that in this particular case, it will likely be a positive. So I'll be supporting it, although it doesn't impact us here in Western New York.
All right. George, if anybody would like to get in contact with you about constituent matters, state matters, whatever it may be, how can they do that?
Well, you can call my Jamestown office at 664-4603. Of course, you now have to dial 716 if you're calling from a cell phone, so 716-664-4603. You can also email me at Borrello@nysenate.gov, and that's Borrello@nysenate.gov. We're happy to help. Please reach out.
All right. State Senator George Borrello from the 57th District, we appreciate the time as always.
Thank you so much, Terry. Great to be back with you.
That's been Community Spotlight for this week. I'm Terry Frank. Thank you very much for listening. We'll talk with you again next week at this same time.